Going In Raw is now a CastBox original. CastBox is the fastest growing, highest rated podcast app on both iOS and Android, where you can find all your favorite podcasts. You can still listen to Going In Raw wherever you get your podcasts, but we hope you'll give CastBox a shot. We think it's the best.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you can be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steve and Larson, available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and the notify bell next to it just to make sure you're always getting your new Going In Raw content if you watch us on YouTube, if you are listening to this on a podcast app, including CastBox. We now have an amazing partnership with CastBox.
Yes.
Check it out. It's a great way to listen to your podcast. If you're listening to it there, be sure to leave us a comment. We've got the comments are lighting up. Might go in there and start answering some of those. And because we can do that, apparently we can we can do a Going In Raw profile and then say, hey, thanks, pal. We can do that.
Oh, we should do that.
Yeah, I know we should. And then we're also available. We're looking to get, so we changed our podcast server. And so we're back on Google Play.
Yes.
And I think Spotify, our people are working on that still.
Yeah, I'll check on that right now.
Apologies.
Yes.
For the delay in that, the little interruption. But, you know, the road to Spotify was a really long one in the first place.
It was. And, you know, we got there. Not there now. Hopefully, once again, we will be there.
We're also available on Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. We've got 70 friendos watching this podcast as a live stream. We had a lively 20-minute pre-show. We'll have a good post-show with chat trivia. That's a lot of fun. Jacinto Gonzalez here in chat wants to know why Bobby Roode's intro is in black and white. I don't know. It just looked cool, I guess.
Yeah, it looks neat.
It was really like the lighting situation was not ideal when we were doing that.
Yeah.
And so like it just sort of stylized.
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 Exactly.
Aesthetics.
We're also available on prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. Two big things. Number one, huge sale starting tomorrow.
Yes, Thursday.
Thursday, going all the way to Monday to celebrate WrestleMania.
It's 20% off.
The promo code is Mania.
Mania.
20% off. We got these new shirts. Don't buy them if you're listening to this on Wednesday.
Don't buy it yet. Wait till tomorrow.
Watching this on Wednesday. Wait till Thursday. On Thursday, snatch these things up. I also just, during the pre-show, submitted the new Going In Raw logo.
Yes.
In t-shirt form. So that should be available tomorrow, hopefully, as well. For the big sale, I figure that'd be a great way to kick off the new logo era.
Yeah.
Of Going In Raw. This is the last SmackDown recap we're doing from this office.
Yeah. After Friday, all new office, whether you have internet or not.
Yeah, pretty much. That's where we're going with that. We'll have internet.
Work out the rest later.
Exactly. We're paying for that damn thing.
I know. We have been for a couple months. We need
now,
to start
so
using
it. Like this Friday is what we've been told that they're going to do the construction for the internet stuff.
Whether that means we'll have capability is something else entirely.
Yeah, we have no idea. Like it's theoretically after construction, it should only be, I've been told, between 2 days and a week until we get actual internet in the office.
Yeah.
So we're like, you know what? They're doing construction. That's good enough for us. We're just going to get in there. So,
yeah.
But yeah, no, we've got a new logo coming up, new office, new backdrop, new everything. Same two idiots sitting here talking about professional wrestling.
That's not going to change. Excuse me.
Same congested burping Larson.
Yeah. I'm not congested today. Just a little burpy.
Same coffee Steve.
Yeah.
I felt so bad because somebody on Twitter like said, man, can you take some Mucinex or something? Because all your snotting. Because last week I was a snot fest.
Yeah,
it was disgusting. And I do apologize for that.
Well, I mean,
it is gross.
We do this every day. Life gets in the way sometimes. Sometimes either you deal with allergies or you get sick. It's unavoidable. We're not going to stop doing the show just because you got a little bit of a cold.
How do you like my very yellow shirt?
I like that a lot.
I didn't realize this. Like, there was could be one of the friendo sent this to us.
Yeah, yeah.
I apologize. Forget who. But man, it is such a yellow shirt. But I told you during the pre-show, this week, no black shirts.
Mm-hmm.
No black shirts just for 1 week.
Good.
I don't know why I decided to do that. I just decided to
probably
do that.
Probably the same reason last week I decided I wasn't going to eat any meat.
You know, with this shirt.
Just to give it a try.
When I put it on this morning, my nipples were extra, like, protruding. So I had to, like, rub them down a little bit and say, tranquilo, nipples.
Did you do this?
Don't do it, man. Then we're going to get demonetized if you start rubbing my nipples on air.
I wasn't that close to touching it. I wasn't trying to. I was trying to tell them tranquilo.
I was like, tranquilo, nipples. Anyways.
It's good. The cuff of the sleeve is tight around your bicep. It's good.
You like that, huh?
Yeah.
You like my bicep? Hey, who wants to see my biceps?
Yeah, man.
Anyways.
Are we doing all we can not to talk about SmackDown?
Man, so look. I try my damnedest to be positive, but holy crap. That was kind of a boring episode yesterday, although we did get one decent thing at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about the awkward pause moment between Shane and Daniel Bryan where they kind of lost track.
Shane was playing with his mic a little bit. The hugging bit was fun, though.
I love the hugging bit.
A nice callback to Team Hell No.
And here's the thing. The thing that I love most about it is that we're not going to have any more of that annoying passive-aggressive stuff between Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon. If somebody turns heel, which would make zero sense for anybody to turn heel in this thing.
I know.
If somebody does turn heel during their tag match, then it'll be less passive and more just aggressive aggression.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, we've moved past the passive aggressive nature of their relationship, which is nice.
Yeah.
So the show kicks off with Daniel Bryan coming out, bringing out Shane McMahon, and they mend fences.
Yeah,
Daniel
Bryan starts talking. And by the way, if you were one of the idiots who were chanting, what?
Yeah, look, what the heck was that?
I understand you buy a ticket, you can do what you want, but it doesn't make you less of an asshole if you're chanting what?
What the heck was that
during
about?
Daniel Bryan?
Yeah.
He's only been medically cleared for like a week now. And you're chanting what at him? Are you serious with that? You're completely out of line.
Yeah.
If I can use some captain to rogue detective parlance. You're out of line.
Out of line.
Come on, man. Have just a tiny bit of class.
Yeah.
Have just the smallest amount of tact. And don't what Daniel Bryan.
I mean, honestly, don't really what anybody.
Really, the what chant should have been dead ages ago.
What is it? 17 years old? 16 years old?
It's 17 years old. In certain situations, or sometimes when it kind of makes me chuckle, I'll admit I don't feel happy about saying that. But last night I was sitting there like, are you serious with this?
Yeah, why are they saying what?
Man, I don't get it. I honestly don't get it. So honestly, if you're chanting what, you can go to hell. That's a bit extreme.
It is.
I'll just say you're out of line.
I'll just say please don't do it.
Turn in your badge and your gun. All right. If you're chanting what, you don't deserve to have a badge or a gun. That's all I got to say about that. All
right. So anyways, they mend fences. And Daniel Bryan says, you know, in tag team partners, they patch things up. There's only one way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he opens his arms, telling Shane, let's embrace.
Yeah.
Let's hug. And Shane says, I'm not much of a hugger. Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. First, so Shane responds with a handout.
Mm-hmm.
And Daniel Bryan says, no. Yeah. Shane says, I'm not much of a hugger. And then Daniel Bryan gets the whole crowd to chant hug it out.
Mm-hmm.
Shane relents, they hug.
Well, here's the thing that I like about it is that's like if you count what podcast did Shane McMahon, was it a podcast that he went on where he said that Vince didn't really hug him that much when he was a kid?
Oh yeah.
So getting like a hug from him, I think, and then there was like a picture of Vince hugging him after like Hell in a Cell or something like that. And so like Shane has a history with the concept of hugs. And so Daniel Bryan warmly embracing him and for an extended period of time.
Yes.
And it looked legitimate.
Yes.
It was very heartwarming.
I feel like Daniel Bryan's probably a really good hugger.
Oh, my God. Like, if there was a power rank for, like, wrestlers I would most want to hug from, he'd be easily number two on the list.
Who was Braun number one?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Those arms.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
The warmth of that embrace.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
It'd be like being hugged by a cloud from heaven.
Yes.
On high.
Yeah, Braun would be number one.
Oh,
was it just me or they reference other wrestlers' catchphrases? Because Daniel Bryan says, Owens and Zayn have got some bad news.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
And
that's
then
weird.
I think Shane said something like, and you'll never, ever see them again.
Are we bringing back Wade Barrett and Chris Jericho?
Yeah.
Jericho's probably, isn't Jericho coming back for like the largest rumble?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reportedly, yes.
So by the way, speaking of that, we got confirmation. Largest, from you, largest rumble is on at 9 in the morning on a Friday.
Yeah, the Sky Sports article, when they announced they're going to be airing it, had the their time, 5 p.m.
Okay.
Greenwich Mean Time. So. Okay. Go back in time 8 hours. That's 9 o'clock in the morning.
So are we thinking that's all live?
Yeah.
Like okay. All right. So I usually drop Alabama off at a school, at her school, not a school, at her school. she doesn't own the school. That's where she goes. Around 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be there probably around like 9:15.
All right.
With donuts and coffee.
Okay.
Bring what you want. If you want to bring croissants, please do.
All right.
I'm going to be there. Hilton seemed totally cool with 1 a.m.
9 a.m. was a bridge too far.
Exactly.
I know. It's like 9 in the morning. Mm,
exactly.
No.
So I don't know, but it's a Rumble. And I mean, here's the thing. The actual Rumble itself probably won't start until 11.
Yeah, I know.
You know.
Or 12, depending on how long the show's going to go.
Exactly. So I don't know. So I'm definitely going to be there.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah.
We'll live stream it.
We'll live stream it. Heck yeah, man. Anyways.
So the first match of the night was Charlotte taking on Natalya. Of course, a couple weeks back, they had a match. Carmella came out, tried to cash in, was denied. Natalya won via roll-up. And so the match happened again. And again, Carmella tries to cash in. Yeah. She comes down the ring with referee, tries to hand briefcase to in-ring referee, Little Nate. Charlotte kicks.
Oh my God, that punt was great.
Yeah.
She kicked the crap out of that thing and went flying.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Punts the briefcase. So Carmella cannot cash in. Natalya once again tries to capitalize on the distraction, roll her up. Charlotte kicks out. And then Charlotte puts Natalya in the figure eight. Natalya taps. Charlotte wins.
So I get the point of Carmella running out and like signaling for a ref. I kind of feel like, and I mean, I get in terms of like the dramatic tension of waiting for the ref because you want that moment to be full of dramatic tension, this cash in. But like kayfabe wise, it doesn't make any sense.
No.
Shouldn't you like have the ref ready to go? You get wrist lock control, right?
Yes.
But instead of doling out a rainmaker, you run with him. You like drag him along.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't just start.
But also,
saying,
if there's a ref already in the ring, why can't you just hand it to that ref? Why do you have to have a different ref?
Oh, I'm past that. I'm fine with that because you always need the separate ref. That's sort of part of the cash-in. I don't know why.
The separate ref thing was always because a match had just ended. Maybe the ref that was refereeing the previous match was outside the ring and already gone backstage.
He had to do
whatever.
Some paperwork or something. Yeah.
So you need to bring out another ref.
Yeah. Seth didn't bring out an extra
ref. I don't think so.
Because he just changed the nature of the match.
Yeah, he ran to the ring, sprinted to the ring with the briefcase and handed the briefcase, if I remember correctly, to the ref in the ring.
Yeah.
And yeah, made a triple threat.
That's a good point. Boy, I got to watch that back again.
Yeah, same
that
here.
Moment, I
remember
I watched it
right after the show.
Yeah. Boy, that was great. Anyways, yeah, failed. There was no actual cash in. So we'll see what happens.
So Asuka came out.
It would be really fun to see her attempt that on Asuka after she wins the title at Mania.
And gets denied.
That'd be fun.
Speaking of Asuka, she came to the ring after Charlotte won. Mm-hmm. They dropped promos on each other.
Yeah.
Felt like it could have gone further.
So, yeah, Asuka started doing the you're not ready for Asuka thing. You're going to lose at Mania. And before she got out the entirety of the sentence, you're not ready for Asuka or no one's ready for Asuka, Charlotte cuts her off, grabs her mic, and says, you know what? I am ready for Asuka. I really would have loved a really,
an essay, at least a thesis.
The way, yeah, exactly. The way that Roman should have had one final promo appeal on Raw, I felt like Charlotte, I think this segment really could have benefited from her sort of running down in, you know, an impassioned way. Not necessarily, maybe just some bullet points as to why she's ready for Asuka and why Asuka's not ready for her.
Yeah.
I thought that could have been a really lovely punctuating moment between her and
Asuka. Especially because there hasn't been much interaction between the two of them.
Yeah, no, exactly. And so, you know, she just sort of awkwardly stopped. They stared at each other and then Charlotte's music kicked in. So it was what it was. You know, I don't know if that's nitpicking or not. I think it could have made the moment a bit more effective.
Yeah,
but regardless... I am so flippin' looking forward to this match.
Oh, it's going
to
be fun.
I think this is going to be like one of the several show stealers. I'm not sure what's going to be ultimate show stealer, but my God, this is definitely going to be
out
there.
I feel like the Intercontinental title match is going to steal the show, if not the Cruiserweight title match. But it's not on the main show, so who knows?
Yeah, the Cruiserweight is going to be like first, I think, or one of the Battle Royals is going to be first. So it's like, I don't know, it's just hard.
Last year, the Cruiserweight title match was first, if I remember correctly.
Oh, was it? Yeah, I think you're right about that.
The Cruiserweight title match should at least main event the kickoff show. Anyways, next we had AJ Styles kind of backstage interview promo type deal. Do you feel like they really need to interject the aspect of the story that AJ is too emotional? I feel like them just kind of playing mind games on each other is more effective than...
Yeah, I kind of like that too. No, because I think it's kind of it's a throwaway thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is whatever. I'll put it this way. For me, it doesn't add anything. It doesn't really take away anything.
Yeah.
So I don't really care. You know,
yeah.
They're saying, they're trying something. They're doing something with the 3-week build that they've had.
Yeah, it's a shame they didn't give this more of a build.
Yeah, I know. No, I agree. I don't know what their build was like at Wrestle Kingdom. You know, yeah, what I mean? Recall, because a lot of that is just like, hey, I'm coming out to challenge you.
A promo package they played before the match when I watched it last, but I don't remember the details.
I think it was probably just a bunch of Bullet Club chaos shenanigans, probably. You know. But I don't know.
When are you going to watch Nakamura versus Ibushi Wrestle Kingdom 9? You should watch that immediately.
At lunch.
Good.
At lunch. While I'm doing stellar my confidence match. Points. You still think that's better in Styles versus Nakamura?
I enjoy it more.
You like it better, huh?
Yeah.
Anyways.
Next, Rusev versus Jinder Mahal with Bob Roode on commentary.
Yeah.
Rusev picks up a win with the Machka kick. So, you know, if that was the last we saw of the segment, you know, if the algorithm held true, then Rusev would no way win the U.S. title at Mania. However, Randall Orton came out, dropped an RKO on Rusev. Aiden English laid out Orton. Went to the top rope for some reason.
Yeah.
He too ate an RKO.
Yeah.
Bob Roode gets in the ring, picks up the U.S. title and hands it to Orton. Yeah. There's a brief little tug of war bit there.
Right.
But eventually just hand it to Randall. So I think with that RKO, it changes the math. It completely eliminates Randall Orton from winning that match.
I think you're right about that, but I think the win also eliminates Rusev.
No, I don't think it does. It's who stands tall is what matters, not who wins the match.
At the very end.
Yes.
Wow, interesting. Yeah, I don't know. This is like probably where the least amount of my confidence points are going.
No, at least my confidence points who wins the Andre Battle Royal.
Oh, I still say it's Matt Hardy.
Probably.
I'll put all my confidence points
Yeah,
on
do that. Yeah.
Oh, man. Let's see here. So, yeah, I don't know. Like this, I mean, you could... I get why people are upset about the Cruiserweight match being in the pre-show. And if I had my druthers, I'd guess this is like the least build to this, you know, put this on the pre-show. But at the same time, Bobby Roode's been paying his dues for how long now? 20 years?
Yeah, he said he's been in the industry for 20 years.
This is his first Mania? Mm-hmm. Let him be on the main card. You know, the Usos haven't been on the main card. Let them. They've been paying their dues.
No, yeah, I'm totally fine with all that.
I kind of get it.
I don't necessarily think there should be something bumped from the main card. Just add the Cruiserweight title to the main card.
Well, then you're not going to have a kickoff show.
Well, you had the two Battle Royals.
The two Battle Royals are the kickoff show?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Take 10 minutes from the... What will probably be a 25-30 minute main event between Lesnar and Reigns and give that to the Cruiserweights.
Oh, you can't do that, man. That's marquee. That's marquee right there.
I don't really want to see Lesnar sleepwalking through a match for 30 minutes.
Honestly, would you, Matt, would you care if it wasn't for the royalties thing that we know about?
Yeah. I think for me,
you would still care.
I think for me, the major thing, I mean, the royalties is a massive part of it. For me, the main thing is that... If WWE wants to develop 205 Live as a brand that people should pay attention to,
yeah,
then give it the respect of putting it on the main card, not the pre-show. The pre-show is just by nature stuff that isn't as important as what's going on the main card.
Yeah, that's right. You're correct. You're right about that. Next up, we got a Shinsuke Nakamura promo kind of mirrored the AJ Styles one. I'll be honest, during this, I was on my Snapchat, like snapping pictures of them and then putting funny like filters on their faces. Like for AJ, I did that in Nakamura. I didn't like post him. I was just having fun with it.
All right.
I didn't really care what they said. Because just give me the match.
I know.
Just give me the match. Because all he did, I did listen to what he said. All he did was reiterate what he said before.
Yeah.
Although was there some shade when AJ said, this isn't Tokyo Dome, this is WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Tokyo Dome's pretty cool though, man.
Oh, Tokyo Dome's awesome. But I'm guessing that AJ didn't write that dialogue.
You're probably right. And I don't think, maybe I'm looking too much into it. But Tokyo Dome's pretty cool.
Yeah, Tokyo Dome's awesome.
It's pretty rad. Anyways, I mean, it's no roller coaster set.
Oh, I know. There's no flashing lights in her face for 7 hours straight.
Exactly. There's no brainwashing strobes in my face.
I know.
There are four lights.
There's a lot of talking in this section of the show, for a lot of the show. Anyways, next we had a New Day promo.
I know, it wasn't a very good episode of SmackDown.
Hyping the WWE Network, which it was fun enough, so it didn't feel like a complete sales job.
Mm-hmm.
The Usos came in. They were arguing a bit back and forth, still centered around the WWE Network.
Mm-hmm.
And then things got awkward when the Bludgeon Brothers just showed up from out of nowhere. Usos and New Day left, and then the Bludgeon Brothers apparently destroyed a camera with their toy hammer.
Yeah. I don't know whose idea this entire thing was. So, like, you mentioned this off camera. Some of it could be forgiven. Like, okay, if you're going to do, like, you know, the New Day basically, you know, pushing the network.
Yeah.
That's fine.
They're clever enough to make it fun.
Yeah.
And it was a fun bit.
There were some odd, like, camera cuts.
Well, yeah, Xavier Woods got a close-up.
That was weird.
And no one else did.
And then the Bludgeon, like, it was bad. I'll just say this, man. This is the kind of crap that I could do without with WWE. Even, like, take the AJ and Shinsuke promos. Do them like Mustafa Ali does his.
Oh, I know.
He had that latest one. I haven't seen it yet, but I hear it's gangbusters. Do cool. Try to be cool. You know, just do something neat.
Be new.
Be new. Thank you. Be new. Switch the little dial to 24 frames, right? Go outside. Get a freaking cool light.
Or go underneath the arena or something.
Go somewhere.
Like, remember those Uso promos they were doing where they were walking through like the bowels of the arena? Those were awesome.
Those were so cool. Why don't they do more of those except without the word? I mean, I guess I can say, hey, at least they didn't put words on the screen.
Yeah, that's true.
But there's so many interesting ways to do it that don't just look like a sit-down interview segment. Because AJ wasn't even being interviewed. He was just talking as if he was being interviewed, but he wasn't. He was just talking.
Same with Nakamura.
Yeah, same with Nakamura. So I don't know. There are so many really simple, effective ways you can use, so many things you can do to modernize your product. And that's kind of what it is. You need to modernize your product a little bit. You know,
at least even do like the press conferences that NXT does.
Even do the why doesn't AJ Shinsuke get the same kind of production value as the Ronda Rousey stuff? I mean, I get they have a lot of money in Rousey, so they probably have budgets that they allocate, but it's really not that difficult. You can make really cool things on a budget these days.
I know. Get your DSLR.
Right, exactly.
A couple lights like we got.
Depth of field
cool.
Does everything. Yep. 24 frames does a lot.
Yep.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm not really nitpicking. I just want the product to look good, you know? Because then I'll be like, then I'll be sitting here singing his praises, saying, holy crap, did you see how they did that?
Mm-hmm. Instead, they just put some...
The same way it was with the Rousey video packages.
I know, that was really, really well done. But then you get this... I like this. Later on, we had a Gable Benjamin iPhone promo, which is fine, but then you know, all those words.
Oh,
up on the screen,
man. I can't stand that stuff. I can't.
You don't pay attention to what they're actually saying.
Yeah.
Next, we had a.
Think about one punctuating point. Remember ECW when they did like.
Oh, that was great.
When they would go outside or they'd go to like Taz's house or whatever and find like a brick wall.
They would literally just put a camera on the. A light on the camera.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And a really gritty feel. And they would just do them back to back to back to back to
exactly,
back.
Exactly.
The last 10 minutes of the show would be promo
to
after
like,
promo.
To
after
like
promo.
Some Dick Dale music or something.
Yeah. Yeah, it was cool.
It was cool. And I'm not suggesting you do that, but it was something very simple, very effective. And it worked.
Yeah. Next, we had an 8-man tag match, Breezango, Zack Ryder, and Ty Dillinger versus Dolph, Baron Corbin, and the Clones.
Are the Clones going to be in the Andre the Giant
Battle
Royal?
Yeah, everybody in this match is in the Andre Battle Royal. Do you want to change your pick to Primo or Epico?
Yeah, I do. That couldn't have been too... I mean, look, they wouldn't have been in this match. I'm saying, like, for the Andre the Giant thing, that couldn't have been two NXT guys.
Yeah, maybe.
You couldn't have tossed, like, Kyle O'Reilly or, you know, I don't know, Cassius Ohno. If the Clones are in this and Cassius Ohno isn't, oh, no.
Oh. Anyways, Baron picked up the win, pitting Fandango after end of day, so Baron Corbin's not winning the Andre Battle Royal.
So you think that takes... The great thing about this, too, and again, it's the weird stuff that I sort of pick up on. I feel like whoever's directing SmackDown, and maybe it's Kevin Dunn, I don't know. Like, Raw feels like a really polished, modern product for the most part. Whoever's doing SmackDown, it's just nerdy. It's like, it's not modern. It's not like how it should be. It's not like design-oriented. Mm-mm. It's like my dad's producing it or something, mm-hmm. You know? Like, so Baron Corbin gets out of the ring after he wins. And he stands awkwardly next to... He starts, you know, basically lusting over the Andre trophy.
Yeah.
And he puts his fingers up like this, meaning two times.
Yeah, he's
going
to win
two
it twice,
times.
Yeah.
But then he has his tongue out where he's like this. And it's just weird. And then the camera goes from, like, handheld over here, right?
Yeah.
And it moves past him to the commentary desk where they start talking about whatever's happening next.
Oh, that's interesting.
It was the weirdest little bit of, like, blocking I've seen in a little while.
Yeah, that's weird.
It was so oddball. Excuse me, Baron. Can you get out of the way? Like, you're getting very close into some sketchy territory right there, you know?
I know.
Anyway.
Next, Chad Gable, Shelton Benjamin iPhone promo. I couldn't even pay attention to what they were saying. All the gosh darn words popping up on the screen. It's too much. Just stop doing it.
They had, like, the Mania logo up there at one point.
Yeah, and they had, like, some animations on the words. They weren't just popping up. They were, like, shooting out towards us.
Right. Oh, man, breaking news. Facebook believes up to 87 million users had information improperly shared with Cambridge Analytica.
Oh, dear.
What the heck? Mass exodus. Anyways.
Where's the delete button on Facebook?
Can we can we get that cool closed Friendoverse group? Can we get that shipped to, like, MySpace or something? Is there another place we can send that group?
We'll start another social media platform called Another Place.
Because that is, yeah, there you go. What if BookBook?
BookBook.
Is like, it's literally the only reason why I'm still on Facebook is for the Friendoverse. If Mikey Omega hadn't created that like a month ago, by the way, they're like over 1,000 members strong now.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Anyways, moving on.
Next, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn showed up, hopped on the announcer's table, and started cutting promos.
Yeah. Doing their darndest to push their match. Look, man, I just want to see the match.
Yeah, I know.
I don't even. So they were talking, and then Shane McMahon's watching backstage
with Daniel Bryan.
Well, Daniel Bryan walks up and says,
yeah,
let's go give him a piece of our mind, buddy.
So they
says, okay, pal.
So they head out. In the meantime, while they're making the way to the ramp, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn's mics are cut. And then,
because Sami Zayn generates his own. This is awesome.
He's dancing
around. It's so silly. I don't know. I like them. They're great.
Yeah, they're good. So Shane and Daniel, I mean, after the mics are cut, Owens and Zayn walk up to the crowd.
Yeah.
Shane and Daniel Bryan go to the top of the ramp, and Daniel Bryan says, I want to get a camera up there because this is the last time you're going to see these two ever on SmackDown Live.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was pretty much it.
And that's, and then we had the main event, which was Gable and Benjamin versus Nakamura and Styles. And, of course, there was strife between Nakamura and Styles, trying to play mind games with each other.
Yeah, at the very end, AJ has Gable kind of laid out, walks over to his corner, gets on the apron, just stares at Nakamura.
Instead of tagging him in to finish it off.
Yeah, hits Gable with a phenomenal forearm, gets the pin. He leaves. Shelton Benjamin then attacks Nakamura.
Mm-hmm.
And AJ kind of watches it, slowly starts to make his way back to the ring, but Nakamura fends him off.
Yeah.
And so AJ gets on the apron, goes through the whole production of the phenomenal form, only to land on his feet, which made me uncomfortable because I know he has a bad knee.
Yeah.
While Nakamura trying to cover himself up, Nakamura realizes he's been had. There was no forearm. AJ was just messing with him. AJ pats him on the head.
Yeah.
Leaves again. Nakamura is upset.
Yeah. So I like that. I mean, look.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's simple. It's effective. It's fine. It's good. The match is going to be off the hook. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I hope so.
Just no shenanigans. Let them go out there.
Yes, let them go out there and have a great match.
The match that they want to have. All right, let's answer some
questions. All right. Haven Elric, impromptu promo battle. Larson as Baron.
Hey.
Corbin versus Steve as Mark Calloway.
All right. A promo battle?
Yeah. All right. More promo battles. I think they work. They're more effective as phone calls.
Okay, yes. That's good.
Because they kind of have the bewildered Mark Calloway, not sure how to use his phone.
All right, go ahead and call me.
Ring, 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 ring.
Who the hell is this calling my phone right now? Hello?
Hey, Mark.
Hold on. Are you on speaker?
Mark.
I'm on speaker. Hello?
Hold Mark.
On. Who's this?
Baron Corbin.
You're on speaker right now. What's your name?
Baron Corbin.
I already told the other guy I don't want any steaks. Click.
Ring, ring.
Damn it. Hello?
Hey, Mark. This is Baron Corbin.
Didn't I just hang up on you?
No.
What?
Why'd I slip an Undertaker?
What do you want, damn it?
So, it's been kind of a rough year at points for Baron Corbin.
I thought you were Baron Corbin.
I am Baron Corbin.
Who's, so, wait, are you Baron Corbin?
Yeah, I'm me.
All right, you're done. Oh, man.
Next, from Joe Jensen. Has anyone else noticed that Little Nate refs all of Charlotte's matches? Is this coincidence or truth exposed?
Oh, I can't wait for the Truth Exposed podcast only on the Friendoville channel.
Yeah.
No, man, that's like his bestie's, you know, little girl. Of course, that's no coincidence right there. Truth Exposed, Lil Nate, you know, he's probably known Charlotte since she was a baby. So absolutely, he's out there to protect his family.
Sure.
Yeah. Let's see here.
Lachlan.
Sherrick.
Sherrick. With no clear winner in either Battle Royal, do you think there is a chance that both Battle Royals can be won by NXT or surprise returns?
I'm going to say no. Unless they did something like, is there anybody that we know pretty much is going to get called up that could use that as momentum?
You know, like Nikki Cross.
Yeah, something like that. Maybe Nikki Cross. Maybe I could say this. I could see if Ember drops the title to Shayna at TakeOver, which I think is a good possibility, she could win the Battle Royal, and that would give her...
I thought of something the other day.
Okie doke.
What if Shayna somehow loses again at TakeOver, and then after Steph and Triple H lose at Mania,
yeah,
they bring her in.
Boy, I would love that story.
Take on Rousey.
I would love that story.
I think that'd be
I'm
excellent.
Bummed out that you just said it.
Because it means it's not going to happen.
Because it means it's not going to happen.
Jonathan Reiner, ahead of Daniel Bryan or Shane McMahon's impending heel turn, who do you think is the most heartbreaking heel turn of all time? I don't think it's a certainty that either one of them are turning heel.
Yeah, neither of them would. Well, okay, Daniel Bryan would make some amount of sense. They could find the logic in that. He's already said they're buddies. But, and on top of that, it would be wildly entertaining.
Yeah, it'd be super entertaining. But the downside, of course, is that no one wants to boo Daniel Bryan.
If they're okay with having a heel faction that is monumentally over and popular,
mm-hmm,
then they'd do it. I don't think they really want that.
But I think the more likely outcome is that no one turns heel and that Zayn, no one's go to Raw.
Yeah. Shane McMahon's not going to turn. He's not going to turn. I say that with all the certainty in the world, and he might. But, you know, but it wouldn't make any sense. He literally just said, I got, what is the hernia, the what hernia?
Oh, I can't remember what it's called.
I don't know what it was. But he got diverticulitis and a hernia.
And a staph infection.
And a staph infection. Thanks to them, why would he turn for
them?
Yeah,
there's no motivation
there. The entire storyline has been him versus them.
Yes.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yes.
But no, the most heartbreaking heel turn of all time is Stone Cold Steve Austin. Because I'm pretty sure it almost torpedoed the Attitude Era, basically.
Yeah.
The momentum from the Attitude Era.
Yes. KitchenAid Cruiserweight Champ Ed. Hey, friendos. I like the AJ Nakamura shortish build. No direct contact. No one got over on the other. Question. Should they?
Yes.
Will they go on last?
No.
Yeah, they probably should, but
they
won't.
Absolutely should. This should be the main event. Whoever wins the Royal Rumble should main event WrestleMania. That's your prize.
Yeah.
And a title shot in the main event. The WWE Championship really should be the top prize in all of wrestling because of the lineage.
Yeah.
It, for some reason, is not as the Universal Championship because Brock Lesnar holds it. Roman Reigns apparently is going to main event every single WrestleMania from here to the end of time.
Yep.
So should it? Yes. Will it? No.
Yes. Yes. The real Rich Hardesty. How would you want to see Asuka lose her streak? Is this WrestleMania the right time, or should they wait for another year? I think the streak breaking is a WrestleMania moment, but I worry that keeping it going books WWE into a corner a bit.
Wait till the main event of WrestleMania 35.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be interesting to see if they... What are they going to be more bound and determined to do? Keep Roman main eventing every single WrestleMania, or take sort of the logical sort of end to the first chapter, end to the second chapter, whatever you want to call the women's revolution, the logical endpoint or a logical point to that would be main event WrestleMania, women's division main event for WrestleMania.
Yes.
If, I mean, we had heard rumors, I don't know how legit they are.
Of Asuka versus Charlotte versus Ronda Rousey.
Right, the main event. I think that'd be spectacular. Mm-hmm. And if they build it correctly, I would be totally fine with Asuka losing to her streak there.
Yeah.
I'd be fine with that. I would kind of prefer a one-on-one match, her and Charlotte, to be honest with you, mm-hmm, like the rematch at Mania 35. But
Whatever.
Embryonic Reflection. Construct the stiffest six-man match in all of wrestling history with the hardest-hitting wrestlers across all promotions in time. Who goes over?
Stan Hansen.
Vader.
Vader, Shibata. Bruiser Brody, maybe?
Yeah.
Brody?
Yeah. Oney Lorcan.
Oh, there you go. I like that. Oney Lorcan. And then who goes over?
Roderick Strong.
Oh, six man. Okay, Roderick Strong. Awesome in there. I'm sure there's been way more stuff.
Oh, I know, I know.
Who goes over? Oney Lorcan.
Yeah.
Oney rules. Have you seen those little weird press conference videos that he does? They're hilarious.
Yeah, they're great.
Roderick Strong, scumbag. He found a partner for him, Pete Dunne, another scumbag.
Double G Monster. Never had a question answered, but what is one thing you think will make the Lesnar-Roman match exciting or memorable? I think Lesnar tearing Roman's vest off halfway through the match would make Roman look more vulnerable. Let me know if you agree. Thanks, guys. Keep up the amazing
work. I love
that
idea. I hope they do that. Now that Double G Monster has said it, it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
But I would love for that to happen.
Yes.
Just look, man. We've seen this with Roman and Braun. It could be really, really exciting if you just have two big bastards going at it, being physical, being violent.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what you need with Roman Brock.
Gotta destroy some announced tables.
Sustained violence.
Yes.
If you do that, people will be into it.
Yeah. Auntie Homolainen?
Yeah.
How badly would it damage Shinsuke's credibility if he doesn't win the WWE Championship at Mania?
It won't be good. I'll say that. It won't be good.
It'll be his third title shot, and he'll come up short each time.
He needs a win. Let's see here. Good question here from JC Down Under, new patron, first time question. So thank you for your support.
Yes, thank you.
Our Patreon's been like really blowing up lately. Like, I want to say thanks to everybody.
Yeah.
For that. Oh, I gotta do shout outs for this month too. What I'd like to know is, do you guys think that the whole Sammy Kevin Owens versus Shane Daniel feud has been beneficial for either Sammy or Kevin's status at all? Well, it's been the A story on SmackDown for the most part.
I think of anybody, it probably benefited Sammy the most.
Yeah, I agree with that.
He wasn't really doing much of anything.
I agree with that.
It's been kind of a holding pattern for Kevin Owens, but I think it's benefited Sammy.
I think, here's the thing too, is that, so I mentioned this a little while ago. Kevin Owens kicked off his career and had it kind of sustained a bit by, I'm not going to say burying, but in a way, kind of burying Sami Zayn. You know, Sami Zayn really came out on the short end of the stick when it came to Kevin, and they've incorporated that into the story.
Yeah.
And so it wouldn't surprise me either way, to be honest with you, if Kevin Owens was totally fine sort of sacrificing a bit of his momentum, because it has been.
Yeah.
To get his friend to maybe the same level that he's at and maybe propel Sammy even further along the path that we know he should be on.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Owens has nothing to worry about. He's a fantastic worker. He's a top three mic guy.
Yeah.
He can, you know, his ceiling is still limitless. And so I, you know, if that's the situation, then I think it's fine. You know, he doesn't need to have all the titles all the time.
I know.
Although I did appreciate when he called himself a prize fighter.
Conlin Furneaux, who do you think will have the best attire at WrestleMania?
I really hope Shinsuke comes out with his Wrestle Kingdom
crown. Yeah.
Crown.
Yeah.
I really, and the cape.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to see that. I hope they go. I mean, Asuka's entrance gear is already off the hook.
Oh, I know. Charlotte will probably have a new robe.
Oh, yeah. That'll be great.
Maybe Roman will have a new vest.
It doesn't really.
Brock should have shorts with Jimmy John logo all over print.
Oh, you love the all over print.
Yeah, I do.
How about just like a Jimmy John sandwich all over?
Oh, even better.
A picture of a sandwich.
Yeah, delicious.
Man, we need to do that for We Book Raw.
Heck yes.
For that Mania match. Oh, that's a good idea. That's a really good idea. And then, like, for Cena, give him, like, a Bumblebee all over print?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
With the release date of Bumblebee on it, of course.
Of course, of course. Of course, yeah. All over.
Of course.
All over.
Well, heck, he can come out like as cosplaying as Bumblebee.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good too.
He can go on, come out on the top of the ramp as a car, then transform.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, that's good. How about this? Even better. In front of the 70,000 people, he's in the green screen outfit.
Yeah.
But then to us at home, he's Bumblebee.
Bumblebee.
But with Cena face, because yeah, his face is right there.
Yeah.
That's good. Those are all good ideas.
All great ideas. Matthew Minatoli, unforeseen circumstances have stopped the U.S. Championship at Mania from happening. Steven Larson, you have been tasked with signing six guys from the indie scene to make an impromptu six-pack challenge match. Who would you sign? Who wins? Who takes the pin, taps out? What's the spot of the match? Thanks, friendos.
From the indie scene.
Yeah.
We're going to take...
Keith Lee.
Keith Lee.
Matt Riddle.
Matt Riddle. Jeff Cobb.
Jeff Cobb, yes.
Wow. Let's see here.
Walter.
Walter and Adam Mayhem.
We need one more.
And then... and from the indie scene, who else? Who do we like?
J.R. Kratos.
Yes, J.R. Kratos. And then what was the second part of the question?
Who wins?
Okay.
Adam Mayhem wins, right?
Adam Mayhem wins.
Who takes the pin, taps out? Walter, because he doesn't want to be a WWE anyways.
Walter, yeah. Walter.
What's the spot? Walter just chops the heck out of everybody.
But how about this? Everybody chops the crap out of Adam Mayhem.
Culminating in Walter.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Just machine chopping him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
but in the end, Adam Mayhem reverses a chop.
He reverses
into a low blow and Yano roll up, picks up the win.
I like that. Wins the H title.
No, U.S. title.
U.S. title.
So okay. He holds two titles, H title and U.S. title.
He is new belt collector.
Yes.
All right, good.
Adam Mayhem picks up the win.
Adam Mayhem wins. But he's still not allowed in our office. No Adam Mayhems. Let's see here.
I had another question and I lost it.
Oh, good question here. Glorious broken sound wave. Hey, Steven and Larson. Just want to know from Raw, SmackDown, NXT. Tell me, who do you think are the Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels of the tag team division? I don't want to saddle what's his name from Street Profits?
Angelo Dawkins.
Angelo Dawkins. I don't want to saddle him with the Marty Jannetty.
What about
how about Jimmy Uso is the Marty Jannetty and Jey Uso?
I was going to maybe say of Heavy Machinery.
Oh no,
Otis. I feel like
is the Shawn
more...
Michaels.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, poor Tucker Knight. Tucker Knight kind of looks like Marty Jannetty.
But I don't think there's teams on Raw or SmackDown that the disparity of the talent levels is so vast.
This is a no-brainer. Tommy T. If you could pick any two wrestlers ever to send back to their early 20s while they retain all their current skills and knowledge, who would you pick? So you get to quantum leap a wrestler from their old body into their early body, but retaining all the info. It'd be AJ Styles.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Maybe one of them. AJ Styles and Shawn Michaels.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one,
and
too.
And then you have them have a match.
Yeah, and then you have them, exactly. Have them fight. Jeremy Torres, new Patreon here. Do you think if Omega or Okada ever left New Japan for WWE, that they should get the same big buildup and privileges that Ronda are getting right now? That's a great question. Because Ronda,
should they? Yes, but they'll probably be more in line to the early push that AJ got.
Yeah. Yes.
Because the way they're handling Ronda is because
she's crossover.
A crossover mainstream star. Yeah.
I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to say this. This is not going out on a limb. Sorry. I'm going to say this. Kenny gets the AJ push.
All right.
Right. I think Okada should get the Rousey push. His title reign
has been
in New Japan has been like unlike anything.
No, I know.
So
I don't disagree about what they deserve. What are they going to get?
I'll put it this way. It wouldn't surprise me. Maybe it would surprise me a little bit. Maybe a little bit. But his title reign is
it's been spectacular.
And the longer they go with it and the more New Japan has a presence here.
Mm-hmm.
The more it wouldn't surprise me if they did roll out that kind of red carpet for Okada. But I don't know. You're right. I mean, she's a crossover star, so who knows?
spilled water all over myself. Matthew Broadhurst. Hey, friendos. New patron here. With Cass reportedly cleared, how would you guys book his return? And would you have him show up at Mania or have him show up on Raw the next night? Have him win the Andre Battle Royal.
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to hurt anybody if he doesn't.
No. Actually, that's a good pick. I like that pick.
You like that pick?
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's not a bad pick.
I might stick with Kane, though.
One single confident point.
I mean, whoever I pick for the Andre Battle Royal is my lowest confidence point.
Yeah, it's probably a smart move.
I feel pretty good about the women's WrestleMania Battle Royal, my winner for that.
GM Spud finds it exciting. Crystal ball time. What happens to Sammy and Kevin if they go to Raw? Where will they fit in? Well, my stomach is rumbling right now.
Yeah. I think they could be... Have them compete for the tag titles.
Oh, I'd love that. I'd love that.
Yeah, I think that'd be good. Although, I guess their thing, it might be a little too similar to what T-Bar does and the Revival does in terms of being a hard-hitting tag team, but...
Mm-hmm.
The matches will be good, so I wouldn't mind too much.
Los Ingobernables de Briton, Alistair Davidson. What a great name, Alistair.
That's a good name.
Hello, my name's Alistair Davidson. Assuming no financial, I don't know what this means. Would you pay for the WWE Network without watching Raw or SmackDown? Or would you watch Raw or SmackDown without being able to use the network?
I guess I'd rather watch the pay-per-views.
Would you pay for it without?
Because they usually do story recaps for the pay-per-views.
Yeah, they do extensive story recaps. Yeah. What is the delay? It's a month delay?
Something like that. So you can eventually get caught up. And also with the network, you get NXT and 205.
Yeah, months. I would. I mean, if he's asking what the preference is, I would sooner get the network without watching Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Lindsay DXHBK, hello to both good friendos.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
I was just catching up on WWE Ride Along, the newest episode featuring AJ and Bob.
Ooh, I got to watch
really
that.
Good.
I know, I need to watch that.
Power rank, what two wrestlers, past or present, you would want to see do the show? Lindsay says Scott Steiner and Jeff Jarrett, or Triple H and Vince.
Oh, I like that last one, Triple H and Vince. That's a good one. Yeah, yeah. So who would you want to see?
On a Ride Along, huh?
Daniel Bryan and Shinsuke Nakamura.
That'd be good.
I'd like to see that one.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Because they go back.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan and Samoa Joe.
That'd be good too.
Is there anybody else from that class? It wasn't AJ Styles. Yeah, Daniel Bryan, Samoa Joe, AJ Styles,
yeah,
all in a car together.
And get CM Punk in there too.
And just get CM Punk
get CM
in there
Punk too.
Sure, why not? We'll do that too.
Colin, scenario. Drew McIntyre gets called up and ends up on the same brand as Jinder Mahal. Is it possible for them to have a legit feud that has nothing to do with their three-man band history? Or do you think Vince won't be able to help himself? They're both so much better now than their three-man band days, and I'm sure they don't want to remember those days. I think Jinder on a ride-along said that one day they'd all get back together and create the most dominant faction in wrestling.
Heath Slater has a lot of work to do for that to happen. A lot, because he's going the opposite direction.
Yes.
I noticed that on Raw the other day. Look, I am not body shaming. I am a fat man myself. But he is getting soft around the middle. And it's just funny to, like, what a mess.
This is water dripping all over the place.
You know, it's difficult not to pay attention to these things when you got, you know, freaking Jinder Mahal out there, Bob Roode out there looking immaculate, you know? And then Heath Slater's out there. I'm like, man, come on, dude. You're three-man band guys. They turned around completely.
Yep.
And
it took getting released, though, maybe to do it.
Yeah, man. Well, you get those paychecks coming in, that tough schedule. Mm-hmm. But still, he's buddies with them. They work out together.
I know.
Go work out with them.
I know. Breeze Mellon. Hey, friendos. Taker is nowhere to be found. Do you really think they would have an unannounced match at Mania? I personally see him waiting for SummerSlam.
Oh, he thinks Taker's not going to show up?
Maybe.
Oh, no way, man. Oh, Taker's totally going to be there. Absolutely.
Would a match happen?
Yeah, of course. Would I prefer him just to show up and sit down next to Cena with some...
Oh, that'd be great.
Hey, look what I got. They put jalapenos on here. John, you like jalapenos on your nachos?
I don't. They bother my tummy. I have to take a Zantac after eat.
Why is he sitting next to himself?
Well, no, I was just trying to fill in. Okay, I'll say this. Well, Mark, do you enjoy jalapenos?
I like a little bit of spice. More, I prefer to have jalapenos in them, and then I take them out, but the juices stay, so I don't have to eat the jalapeno, but I still get a little whiff of the spice, you know? I still like that.
Yes.
Because, man, I tell you what, if I eat a whole thing of jalapenos, I end up on the toilet. Man, the powers of darkness come unleashed from my butthole.
You know, Mark, I can't say it terribly. You know, the so-called cheese reading, that is just oil and orange food coloring.
Man, the radioactivity coming off this orange glowing fake cheese is amazing. I love it all. If I had one of those little, what do you call those things, the radiometers that you take to
it. That would be a Geiger counter.
A Geiger counter, it would be off the charts. What's a high Geiger counter reading?
Five.
I'm going to do chat now or
yeah,
trivia?
Let's do trivia
now. Trivia. You know what's in that box right there? I'm pretty sure. So we got a box.
Oh, is that more trivia?
I'm pretty sure that. So we're going to debut that at the new office too.
Cool.
Whole changeover. I think it's the What Culture Trivia.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Let me see who sent this to us. I didn't want to unbox it like now. I want to do it properly. This is coming to us from... It doesn't say.
All right.
What Culture...
All right, come on, stop.
Yeah, it's a trivia game.
All right, that's good.
I don't know who sent it to us, but I'm sure there's a
yeah, there'll be known there. Let's start with classic. Are you ready? Who successfully slammed Yokozuna on the deck of the USS Intrepid?
Lex Luger. We have an entire wall of them over there.
Yes.
You know how he did it? He used the powers of darkness.
He probably like could deadlift a lot.
Big events. What multi-time NWA champion came to the WWE and won the 1986 King of the Ring tournament?
Oh, that was Harley Race.
Very good.
What Hall of Fame manager guided more than a dozen tag teams to the World Tag Team Championships throughout the 1970s and 1980s?
Bobby Heenan?
Captain Lou Albano.
God damn it. Championships. What future WWE Hall of Famer was the first WWE Intercontinental Champion back in 1979?
Pat Patterson.
He won it by winning a fake tournament.
You gotta keep one digit up there, man.
I didn't get that one.
You got the first one.
What was that one?
The Lex Luger one.
Nice.
Oh, my turn. What was the three-letter name of the move Jake the Snake Roberts used to finish off his opponents?
DDT, double J, F5,
Superstar Bio. What was the name of the tag team consisting of Davey Boy Smith and the Dynamite Kid?
Oh, that's the British Bulldogs.
That is correct.
That's pretty easy. What former MMA competitor did Steve Blackman face in a Lion's Den weapons match at SummerSlam 1999?
Ken Shamrock.
Yeah.
Big events. What makeup clad...
You're so messed up. How many fingers you're supposed to be holding up?
I know. What makeup clad rap duo accompanied the Oddities to the ring for their match at SummerSlam 1998?
Insane Clown Posse.
Correct.
What brother tag team unified the WWE and WCW World Tag Team Championships at SummerSlam 2001?
The Brothers of Destruction.
Yeah.
I wish it was Grodek. Because then they beat the crap out of Chronic for reals. Championships. Who defeated John Cena for the United States Championship in his WWE debut match on SmackDown in October 2004?
Oh, shoot. October 2004?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, man. Bobby Lashley.
No. It's funny because you usually say Shelton Benjamin. The answer is actually
Carlito.
Oh, okay.
Carlito.
Yeah, I did actually think Shelton Benjamin. What NFL team did former world heavyweight champion Goldberg play for at one time?
The Atlanta Falcons.
Correct.
Superstar Bio.
I need this to tie.
Who served as Brock Lesnar's agent when Lesnar debuted in WWE in March 2002?
It's Paul Heyman.
Paul Heyman.
Tie.
What a great episode.
Fantastic.
Rich, lively, with lots of humor and good friendship.
And hopefully some decent information and some quality analysis.
I give this episode an A+. Hilton, can we please get some music?
Yes, Hilton, please.
Thank you, Hilton. Anyways, that's it for the show. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Goodbye.